Okay, we're ready to get started. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. I always enjoy these opportunities for us to get together and talk about principles that can improve and change our lives. We're very excited about the developments as of late to take these principles and this assessment into the athletic world. It's very interesting when we talk to athletes about these measurements. When we talk about something that isn't working, it's not something that's wrong. It's just something they need to jettison. They want to get out of their life. They want to perform at a very high level. And the question is, what might be keeping me from doing that? What habit of thinking? Tell me what I want to do to shift that habit to move us forward. If we all can have that same kind of energy, that we are here to perform at a high level. High performance is a choice. We get to choose whether we are successful or whether we're having frustrations and disappointments. Our life is a reflection of our thought processes. Now, I know that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but it's true. So if we want to change our circumstances, we're going to want to change our thought processes. Now, tonight we're going to go into a very special place in the assessment. I'm going to see if I can explain this and set it up for you, so take some notes. This is in your internal world. It's called Joy in the Journey. If you've got your assessment, got some dialogue going on in the background. If someone could press *6 on their phone, that would be great, so we can mute that out of the background. Thank you. It's on the right-hand side. It's in our internal world. These are thought processes we have with ourself about how we're feeling about our current life. How are we feeling about our life? Now, these thought processes can be damaged by two very different circumstances. The first and the least common are that the circumstances are awful. We might be in an abusive relationship, which is possible, and if you are, you're going to want to get some assistance immediately. That's a possibility. We may be going through some serious health challenges and some financial challenges that aren't very pleasant. That can add to some of these measurements when they start to go orange and red. However, the number one cause is an unmet expectation. An unmet expectation. We have used our thought processes in mental creation, that's the bottom right-hand side, and we have created some expectations of how we would like our life to be. And every time it shows up differently than that, we just have one of those reactions, and it starts to show up in these measurements in Joy in the Journey. It's the number one cause. Because we can step back from our circumstances and find a lot of good things in our lives. We can be grateful. I'm looking at the assessment now, first measurement. We can be grateful. We can step back and count our blessings and name them one by one. We can absolutely do that. When grateful turns orange and sometimes red, that measurements wants us to yank us out of this chair of gratitude and over there into the chair of what I call ugh. By now I thought it would be easier. By now I thought I would be more wealthy. By now I thought I'd be in a different place. It would be easy. It would just be much better. It's that ugh over there in that other chair. We step back from it. And we realize that if we're sitting here in the observer's chair, looking over there at that other chair, that the only reason why that chair is frustrating is because it's not stacking up with our expectations. This is an interesting challenge for so many right now, because with the economy the way it is, we're going, Dave, you don't understand where I am. You know, my house payment's in trouble, my job's in trouble, I got so many things going on. And that's true. However, it's so common that it is kind of the average. And the fact is that if we can go back into our thought processes and go back into creation, taking whatever we have, even if it seems like a little, whatever we have, and then create the most we can with it, if we'll stay in that space, then we can be deeply grateful. It is taking our clay You've done this with me, so just do it again. I've got my hands in front of me, and I'm holding this 10-pound block of clay. This is my clay. This is my physical condition, my spiritual condition, my financial condition, my relationships. It's my history, it's my challenges, my failures, it's my successes. It's all, this is my life. This is my clay, uniquely given to me. And the day that we make this one decision is a day that everything shifts. Everything shifts. It's when we stop fighting and resisting and resenting the clay we've been given, which some people can do for a lifetime, just being angry, frustrated, overwhelmed, bitter, shameful, guilty. We say, this is my clay. This is what I've been given, and I'm going to trust that this is exactly how it's supposed to be. And I'm going to choose my clay. Choose my clay. I choose my clay. And you can hear the thought process, yes, but I want a nicer car, or I want a different house, or wish I was in a different relationship. We just stop. Because all that does is create angst and anger and frustration and bitterness and breakup and pain and destruction in lives. No. Say, I choose my clay. And once we choose our clay, it's very important for us to make a note, I'm not giving up or even giving in. I'm simply choosing to take my clay and now choosing to create the most I can with what I've been given. I choose the clay that honors the gift. But I'm going to honor the giver of the gift by taking this and creating the most I can with it. Therein lies one of the greatest secrets of success. Because until we make this measurement, I mean this decision, we are not in creation. We're in hope and dream and fantasy and all kinds of other things, none of which create our dreams in tangible reality. But taking what we've been given and beginning the process of creating the most we can with it, now we're in creation. Now we're grateful for what we have and what we create with it, and then we create the next and the next and the next. I've said this to all of us many times. We are supposed to want more. We're supposed to want more. We're built to want more. And the more is taking our clay, the fiduciary responsibility, the legal liability for our own life, and then creating the most we can with it so that when we're ready to leave this planet, we have no regrets. We've created the most we can with our life. Relationships, our business, our spiritual relationships, we've created the most we can with our clay. Then we can leave with peace in our heart. This is a wonderful decision. Some of you have flirted with this. I know that in my own life there are times when things happen I don't really want. I don't want that. And I just know that the more I resist and resent and rebel against what is, all I'm doing is delaying the creation process. Nothing good can come out of that. Nothing. No matter how frustrating it is, no matter how angry I want to be, no matter how awful it might be, nothing good can come out of resistance, resentment, and rebellion about what is. When I make the choice that I choose this, now let's go to work. Let's create the most we can with it. And this is what I do know. That when we make that choice and we begin to recognize our strengths and maximize our strengths, that we're actually given more clay. That's a truth. That's a universal principle. But the power that gives us clay is not going to give us more clay if we're not honoring the very clay we've been given. If we're saying, I don't want that clay, I want somebody else's clay. Well, we don't get the gift of more clay until we own and build the most we can with it. So take a look at your life tonight and just make a list of some places you're going to want to look. Number one, in your relationship. I'm not talking about abusive relationships. I'm just talking about relationships where they can improve, they could be better. We could become less right and wrong, win and lose, life and death, that stuff we talked about last week. And we start looking for the good. I was on a call this morning with a client, and we were talking about, someone's, this is where they're at. That was the way it was stated. This is where they're at. How do you get them from here to the next level? And what I shared was this. I said, this person has got their own series of thought processes. Matter of fact, while you and I are talking right now, they've got thought processes going on. They've been going on for hours, and they will. They'll have a sleep tonight. They'll wake in the morning. They've got a life. They eat food. They exercise. They've got a life. They're a real human being. How they're showing up is consistent with their thought processes. They may not be owning their natural gifts. Your mission isn't to point out their flaws and their faults and where they're not stacking up. Our responsibility is to find the good, the gems, the things that they do good that they may not even recognize. Their thought process may not have allowed them to own their own goodness. It's in pointing out their goodness that they grow, because they embrace the goodness and they become bigger. Well, that's where they are at. Well, if that's where they're at, now they've grown. Now we look for more good, and they grow and they grow and they grow. That's how we build people. We don't build them by pointing out what's wrong with them. We build them by pointing out the goodness in them. So we want to be looking for those things in a relationship. So just take a look at your client. How's my relationship? Have I got some anger, any bitterness, any frustration that I've been harboring? How long do I want to harbor that? What would happen if I intrinsically validated, I truly listened? And when somebody said something that offended me, I just chose not to be offended. As Og said, I turn it to the softest of rain. Just the softest of rain. Let's explore that. So consider that this week. What could I do in my relationship to take my clay, this clay I've been given, and create something magnificent with it? In terms of my finances, when we spend time on all the frustrations, the resentment, I wish I had money to do this, and I wish I had money to do that, and oh my goodness, look at my credit card statement. If we spend time in that area, we will never create the solutions that will make that different. All of those thought processes, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? How can I bring value at my work? How can I bring value in my business? How can I bring value in my relationships? How do I bring value to people? Those people who focus on bringing value are always rewarded. So we look at this clay. We don't like our finances. Then we just want to start creating something different. In terms of our spiritual life, do we have some anger because something happened when we were a child, or somebody did something to us, or we lost something, and we're angry with God? What I know is he's not angry with you. Standing there waiting for us. If you do nothing more than use your mind constructively, what could I create? How could I create that? How would that serve? Get some inspired ideas from that very source. Start to develop a trust again in the real source. Look at your health. What's your health like? Oh my goodness, I turned 60 this year. I'd like to trim a few pounds, and I look at that, and whew, every once in a while the back goes out. And, I wish. And as soon as I go, I wish, no. It means I stretch, I exercise, I eat differently. That's a choice. Just go down your list. health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health, your relationships. What would you like to make better? Take what you have and create the most you can with it. When we stay in that space, the measurements and joy in the journey start to shift. We actually start to enjoy our life. That's it. Grateful is at the deepest level of just, do we love our life? Do we intrinsically value our life? Persistent, the next measurement, is when we're doing things, are we doing them because we enjoy doing them, or do we feel like we're not being recognized or appreciated, or we need more money? Where are our thought processes in terms of what we do? Can we just find joy in what we do? And sometimes it has a lot more to do with how we do it than what we do. Effective. How am I doing with my time? Am I like a chicken with my head cut off, running around, dog chasing his tail, frenetic, non-goal-directed activity, busy, 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 busy? Am I in that space? If we are, take a big deep breath. Step back. Well, I can't slow down. Well, we're not moving in any direction. We're just bouncing off a wall. So just take a big deep breath and step back and say, what is my frustration? Why am I going so crazy? And the answer is almost always, when we get down to the common denominator, is I'm trying to create what my mind has already seen. I'm frustrated it's not here. Well, let's get back to our clay. Let's own our clay. That's the amount of time we have. But I've got children at home and I need to be working. Well, you have children at home. That's your clay right now. Or my husband doesn't make enough money. Well, that's your clay. Let's work on that. Or husband says, I wish somebody would do something more to help me out when I come home. A woman says, I'm the only breadwinner. I wish I had a husband who was earning money. That would be nice, but that's not your clay. Not right now. I just throw those out as examples. What is your clay? Let's not be frustrated by it. Let's take the time we have, however much time that is, and let's use it wisely. Because sometimes when we're in this space, we could wear ourselves out just because of the emotional energy. And then when there's valuable, productive time, we're in watching television. We're in watching television tonight. We got plenty of time. If we are emotionally strong, if we're passionate about what we're doing. So just take a look at that clay. Okay. When you look at realistic, the question is that things are getting in the way. Ideas are getting in the way of what I'd like to create. I can see what I want. I just don't know how to create it. Well, generally what's happening is we're trying to create it faster than it can be created. Working on a training program for a network marketing company right now, and they've absolutely given me carte blanche to speak the truth. And right up front, you know, someone just signed up and they want to go throw up all over the world. And the problem is that after throwing up on three people, they're so discouraged. It's like undulation. It's like bipolar. You know, they're really high one day and really low the next, and they're out of the business. And the idea is, let's just take a big deep breath. We're going to be in this for the long haul. This is a business we're going to build. Let's get some foundational principles in place for a couple of days. Then let's go practice those with people. And we're actually getting an opportunity to teach intrinsic validation right up front before someone goes and burns a bridge with a relative. Because right up front in that business, people generally talk to the people closest to them who love them enough to endure their conversation first, when we're least prepared. And we burn bridges. What a tragedy. So if you're struggling with how do I get there, it might be simply because we want to get there faster than it's possible to get there. Just take a big deep breath. This is a journey. Take this clay. Start creating the most we can with it. Yes, but David, that's not enough to cover my house payment, my car payment, my credit cards. That's true. But if we run around like crazy, we won't have anything. We want to create as much as we can on a daily basis for 200 days. And we can then know that it's as good as it can possibly be, no matter where we are. No matter where we are. It's as good as it can be. That's a wonderful blessing to give yourself. When we look at the measurement diligent, what happens when things get in the way? Do we allow them? Just take around, look around your house, look in your garage, look at your car, look at your clothes. Do you take care of these things? Do we let them get in dirty or cluttered, or do we allow things to get in the way of our productivity? We're just overwhelmed. It's not a safe workplace. Or do we, on the other hand, blame all the things that are in the way as the reason why we're not creating? Wow. Let's step back from that. Sit here in the observer's chair and say, I've listened to you long enough. Yes, I happen to be 60 years old, using my age. Yes, I have lost my job. Yes, it's hard to get a new one. I may not be able to earn the money I was going to earn, but I'm not going to blame the company who laid me off because I get nothing out of that. Nobody's going to show up and say, here's some extra money, poor you. It's not going to happen. We take the clay we've been given and we create the most we can with it. I don't want to offend anyone tonight, but I do want to shake you a little bit. If you've been stuck in this space, because stuck here means nothing. Nothing but compounded grief. Last measurement, vigilant. I see this orange a lot, where people just feel like they're supposed to be somewhere else doing something different. They're meant to do so much more. And the truth is, you are, with your clay, where you stand. Your clay, where you stand. We don't need to go to Africa. Now, there's some very worthy, wonderful projects. I listened to Cynthia Kersey this last weekend down in Las Vegas, and she's talking about what she does in Africa to build schools. Wonderful, no question. Worthy project. But sometimes we skip past places in our own lives and relationships that need our attention to go to some exotic place hoping it'll be different. And the challenge is we take these very thought processes with us. And soon we don't like that either, because the grass is never greener. If we love what we're doing here, we'll love what we're doing there. If we love what we're doing here, we'll create enough revenue to not only pay our expenses here, but we'll be able to donate and even travel over there. That's the healthy way to do it, is to have the resources, the ability, the health, the desire, because we're so grounded here. We're not escaping to something else to change our life. So just take a look at this in your assessment. Grateful. I want to own this clay. Persistent. I want to love what I'm doing. And to do that, one of the great things I can do is to be more focused on serving other people. Effective. Instead of racing around, stop, slow down. Do that goal-setting activity that we do in mental creation and just execute one step at a time. Realistic? Stop trying to get there so fast. And just take the clay you've been given and create as much as you can with it. That's as fast as it can be done. Knowing you'll be given more clay, knowing that there will be doors that open, and people will be put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. That's part of the process. Diligent. We stop allowing things to get in the way, or we stop blaming things. It won't do any good. If we allow it, it's our own fault. If we blame, we're trying to justify that which is not serving us. So let all that anger go. No matter what it is, it won't serve. And just get focused back on creating as much as we can with the clay and vigilant. Vigilant, take your clay and serve where you stand. This is really the message of joy in the journey. I have a lot of people say to me, I don't like what I do. I don't like what I do. And I say, well, if we start focusing more on the people and stepping into their world and taking down their walls of resistance, we'll have another purpose for being there. Most of the time, we don't like what we do because of the way we're showing up and not the work circumstances. I know there are exceptions to that. And if you're in one of those exceptions, you might want to make a shift. But I rarely tell someone to make a shift until after they have totally owned their clay and begin the process of creating as much as they can with it. Because it might bring everything else into perspective. It may serve in that area. So that's one. Number two, it is interesting in our world. There seems to be a lot more pain in the last little while, last 4 or 5 years, than we've had for a while. Relationships are in challenges. Finances have been in challenges. The nation seems to be stabilizing a bit. But I read an article the other day that said it's not the nation's debt that's crushing us. It's our own personal debt. And that's probably true. All of us would be served well to get that out of our life entirely so that we've got more freedom. But the truth of the matter is that in this world in which we live, this tangible, temporal, extrinsic, whatever name you want to give it, this world in which we live, we are going to have obstacles. Tires are going to go flat. Accidents are going to happen. Businesses are going to fail. People are going to be dishonest. That's going to be part of the process. It would be nice if everybody did exactly what they're supposed to do, whenever they're supposed to do it, and there weren't any problems ever. But it's not terribly realistic. There are going to be challenges, and it's going to create pain, and it's part of the process. Enjoying the journey, one of the great principles we're going to want to embrace, isn't I want to have a life free of challenges. I want to have the courage to take on a challenge when it occurs. Because most of the time when something happens, we're... Hello? When we're facing a challenge, it's human nature to be frustrated, overwhelmed, even pull back, resent, rebel, and eventually we have to face the reality. If we could do that immediately and we could say this, interesting. I wonder what I'll learn from this. Number two, I wonder why I'll need to learn that. How can I show up courageous in this challenge? And lastly, how can I use what I learned to serve other people? If we take that stance with an obstacle, it'll be totally different. We'll realize that from this point to the time we leave this planet, we're just in a laboratory. This is an experiment. This is an opportunity for us to stretch and grow and become all we can be. And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But there's a very good chance there'll be an obstacle in the next week or two that will get in the way of our grand plans. So we surrender to the obstacle. Wow. I wonder why this is happening. What can I learn from this? Why do I need to learn that? How can I show up courageous to inspire others to deal with their obstacles? How can I use what I've learned to serve other people? If we can do that, we'll find more joy in the journey. This really is the core when Og says, I hunger for success. We experience that here. I thirst for happiness. We experience that here. And peace of mind. Lest I act, I'll perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command and I will obey my own command. People who are trying to make millions and millions of dollars, when it really boils down to it, they just want happiness and peace of mind. Happiness and peace of mind. That's joy in the journey. So let us make the decision to start finding joy in our journey, happiness and peace of mind, by owning our clay, what we've been given, choosing it, and then creating the most we can with it. That's what I want to share with you tonight. This can be a tough discussion for some, because some people have really challenging clay right now. But my promise to you is that if you'll embrace your clay and focus there, you begin to see the shifts in your life. James Allen, little book, says, A Man Thinketh, wrote, Let a man radically alter his thoughts. That's what we're talking about tonight. Radically alter his thoughts, and he'll be astonished at the rapid transformation it will affect in the material conditions of his life. If you want things to be done differently, you want things to be different financially, for an example, then you want to own your clay and create the most you can with it. That's how you make the shift. That's how you win the lottery. And 5 years from now, you'll be in worse shape than when you won it. That's the other option. Okay, I want to turn this over to all of you. Does anyone have a question, a comment, anything that I could do to serve you tonight?
David's Dutch
David
Stoddard. Oh. David Stoddard, is that what I heard?
Doug.
Doug, hi Doug.
Doug Stoddard.
Thanks,
hello.
Doug.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate what you said tonight because I started the assessment April of 2012, and I've taken it 4 times, and I've created a chart showing where I was at each level, you know, each time on each one of these. And it was interesting. Some of these have gone from red to greens, like grateful and effective, but then I had some greens go to reds. But as you're describing it, I understand exactly what's gone on there. But so I really appreciate the explanation of these, because I took on a major project about 2 months ago, and then my son moved in with his 5 kids. And all of a sudden, all these different vigilant, diligent, I've had a challenge in all those.
Well, that's a dramatic enough event to shift a thought process.
Well, that's, I've noticed that. Yeah. But I've also am learning to find joy in the moment with the situation I'm in. Okay. Organizing my time, this is when I'm going to do this, but at this time I'm totally focused on what we're doing with the grandkids, and there's a lot of joy in those moments. And in this process, I've also noticed I've had a major shift in my ability to create, which has been really, really fun as I've been working on this project. So maybe they're hand in hand where you're taking more time to or getting better at creation and visualization and exploration. I seem to be more effective in getting in that sooner. So maybe they go hand in hand there. But anyway, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And there's a reason, Doug, why we have children when we're young.
Boy, mm-hmm. Into that.
Well, there is. And any grandparent who steps in to help out with a family in need or a grandchild, I just take my hat off. Ramona's going to be with our grandchildren all day tomorrow, one of the families. While my daughter is attending a youth group camp with the young women in her congregation. And my wife's grateful to do that. But I know Ramona is one of the finest human beings on the planet. But when she comes home tomorrow night at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, I know she's going to be worn out. She'll be exhausted. I know that. But the gift is she gets to come home to a quiet home. You don't have one to go to. So, Doug, I just want to acknowledge your willingness to make that kind of sacrifice for your family. It's huge. They call it Herculean, and Hercules was a mythical character. It's Herculean. So be kind to yourself when your edges get a little frayed.
I've had to, because it's been, I've had to move my office into my bedroom and put my earplugs in so I can do some things at times. But the times, there is no greater joy than when
absolutely.
You show up.
Times, there's no greater joy. Yep.
Yeah. But when I can show up, truly show up and not with an agenda or on the surface. There's a real joy when the real me shows up for those kids. And
may I go out on a limb with you for a moment? It keeps
sure.
coming up, so I'm going to trust my gut on this, okay?
Okay.
If children are going to move into their parents' home with children, it's very important that you have a set of rules, and particularly
mm-hmm.
around finances, so that they aren't irresponsible with their money while you're paying the bills.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's no judgment in that. I'm just sharing it with you. Because
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
Okay. When I was in that position in 1992, and I called my father to tell him that, we've been in hell for 2 years and it just got worse today. All the income we did have coming in just evaporated. And his comment to me, Doug, was, "Well, son, I just want you to know I don't see you and your 7 children living in my home. And I want you to know it was the greatest gift my dad ever gave me. Greatest gift." Now, there's no judgment about the fact they're in there and you took them in. I think that's a remarkable thing. Because I've seen in our own neighborhood families who have brought in their kids in situations, and I talk to the parents and they're in deep frustration because they're buying things and traveling and doing all kinds of stuff because now they don't have any expenses. You know your circumstances. I want to say no judgment for your decision, but since we're on the phone talking about it, you have every right to hold them accountable for the way they spend their money if they're going to live under your roof. And if they don't like that, they need to go under their own. There, I've said it.
And you know how quickly that came up?
I can imagine.
They're only with us for 2.5-3 months till he goes to school. And
yep.
But it was, we've had some very blunt discussions, and it's just really, it's been good on both sides. But my wife is very blunt.
Well, I sense, Doug, there was somebody else on the phone tonight who needed to hear that. So
yeah.
Thanks for being
really.
The person I could, and the example to allow the conversation to occur. Because we have single children staying longer and longer and longer, and we're hesitant to hold them accountable. We're hesitant to set boundaries because we don't want to offend them or hurt their feelings. For heaven's sakes, these people need to be able to go out and learn to make a living. They need to stand on their own and create a life. And we may have coddled them for a long, long time, and it's part of the problem. We just got to stop coddling kids. They need to learn how to work when they're 15 and 16 and 17 and 18. Work hard. Go to school and study. Because we're raising a generation of very privileged kids who do not. It's not categorical. It's just a serious challenge. I'm dealing with it all the time in the work that I do with families, with children that they're 26 years old, still living at home and going to junior college, one course every other semester, and they got a job and play golf all day. I mean, it can be a challenge. And I've got to be careful how I said that, because I've got one client who has a son who plays a lot of golf because that's what he's going to become. He's studying to become a manager of golf courses, etc. That would be a little different than just avoiding life. But, I've said enough. But thank you, Doug. Now, when you came on, Doug, I heard a woman's voice come on for a moment. You want to jump on now, please?
Oh, hi. It was Beverly.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Well, that last message kind of hit home a bit for me, so thank you. Not directly, but stuff that's going on in my world around me. So, but that wasn't what it was. I think I was back on, you said something about 200 days, to do something for 200 days. I missed that.
Oh, okay. I remember when I first said that, it was about 10 years ago, and there was something magical about 200 days. There's nothing scientific about it. It's just I am where I am right now. You look out 200 days, that's a little bit over 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because 90 days would be 3 months, so 200 days would be about three, and it's about almost a fourth of a year. And we're saying, I'm going to take my clay and create the most I can. I'm not going to spend any time worrying about whether I'll be able to pay my bills or all the fears I have, because that does not do anything to help me create. I'm going to stay in creation, mentally rehearsing, exploring, planning, goal setting, problem solving, seeking inspiration, and then acting on those inspirations. I'm going to take my clay, no matter how bad it is or incapable of paying my bills it might seem, I'm going to take it and I'm going to come unplugged for 200 days. There's just something about 200 days. 200 days from now, I'll be standing. I'll still be alive. 200 days from now, we'll come. It will come. And here we are, looking back and knowing, this is the secret, I've done everything I can do. I have. I've done everything I can do. If we can't say that, then we don't know what would have been possible. But if we truly were in creation and we were disciplined and we did everything we could for 200 days, we'll know that it's as good as it can be. We'll also know by then that we have been assisted, that some doors have opened, opportunities have presented themselves, people have been put on our path. We'll start to see, it's long enough period of time, to start to see some of those miracles happening in our life that only occur when we're fully in creation. So we'll start to see those things unfold. Then we could get excited. It's a long enough period of time to give us evidence that this process will function. So really the question tonight is, would somebody be willing to go all out for 200 days, take their clay, whatever it is, and create the most they can with it, to stand in a place where they'll know that it's as good as it could be, whatever it is, and a long enough period of time to be able to experience some of the principles that apply to creation? Are we willing to try that? Somebody says, well, that's a long time. Well, life is a journey. So are we going to get engaged, or are we going to stay in resentment and rebellion and resistance? So long as we stay in this place, we're never going to make that shift. So thanks for asking the question. 200 days is really just a long enough period to test it and start to feel it, taste it. It'll give us courage to then start living that way. But if we make an undying commitment for 200 days, that no matter what, we're just going to be blind to any negative thought, we'll just shut it up, we'll have enough evidence at 200 days for us to continue the process. That was my thought.
Well, the reason I asked that is because I am right on the verge of doing that. I was looking at, you know, all the I don't want to call it work, but I guess we could call it work, all the processes I've been going through in the last year. And I have to say, I haven't really stepped it up to that extent, and that's what's been on my mind this week. So I'm willing to jump in for the 200 days and give it all I've got.
That's awesome. Because if you actually do that, 200 days from now, you will be smiling, a big smile, because it'll be, wow, maybe all my problems aren't solved, but I'll know they're as good as they can be. I will have seen miracles start to happen, and I know that if I do it for another 200, I could actually shift my life. Who wouldn't give 200 days and another 200 days, maybe for a year.
Yeah.
If they knew. That's awesome. Yeah. 365 days, 200 days is almost a half a year, isn't it? It's 30 days. That's right, it's 90 days. Yeah, it's almost 6 months. Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. So it's 6 months. It's not 3 months. I apologize, I said that earlier. It's 6 months. Who wouldn't give 6 months? Wow. To change their life forever. We'll find out. Will you tell Karen hi for me when you see her next time?
I will.
Thank you.
I will.
Anyone else have a question or a thought this evening? If I can serve? Okay, well, it's great to be with you. Next week, we're back to self-esteem. Isn't that exciting? We're back to self-esteem, and I'll be coming to you from San Diego. I'll be a speaker down there at a thing called The Secret Knock with Greg Reed, who wrote Three Feet from Goal with Sharon Lecter. I'm going to be breaking away on Tuesday night to make sure we can have our group together. So come prepared to share and participate. I will have had a couple of really fun days in San Diego and in meetings with great people, and let's come and take on self-esteem. You'll notice that we've worked our way all the way from self-esteem back through the qualities, and now we're going to go back to self-esteem and get prepared. And let's go through them one more time. So come back next week, and let's dive into what happens when we have those expectations. They're unmet. We have frustrations with our life. What are we doing to our self-esteem? Oh, my goodness. Some of us are really trashing it. We start questioning our worth and our worthiness and our ability and our beliefs because we think something's wrong with us because our fantasies aren't happening. We stay focused on creation. We'll shift this very quickly. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been great to be with you again tonight. And we'll be back with you next Tuesday for the next edition of Celebration of Life. Good night, everyone. Come off of mute and say good night, please.
Thanks. Good night, Dave. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks to everybody for participating.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Beverly and Doug. It was wonderful. Thanks, everyone.